white collar mean? The white collar means non-compassion, non-feeling, non-compassion. Okay. Did you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Good Samaritan. Anybody can recite a Good Samaritan? The story of Good Samaritan. Dennis, can you recite just in short? Okay. So priest and Levi passed by, and did they take any action to rescue the victim? No. Why? Because they don't have compassion. They don't have the feeling, right? They saw it. They saw it. They saw the thing. They saw the victim lying on the road, on the street. However, they don't have compassion. They don't have love. They don't have feeling at all. Okay, so this is the white color. White. No life. No life. It's a loveless, lifeless. Okay. No motion. No feeling. No compassion. How about pink? Wow, pink is a beautiful color. Huh? When I bought the first house, and my daughter's room was painted in pink color. Wow, she liked the pink color. I like too, pink. And many ladies, you like a young pink color. Okay, so what does pink color mean? Okay, I think let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. 29. Verse 21, I'm sorry, verse 21. Chapter 21, verse 28. Matthew, chapter 21, verse 28. By what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." 29. He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it and went. 30. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "Yes, sir, I will go." But he did not go. So which of the two did the will of his father? Which one? The first one, right? The second one said, "Yes, sir." Right? He answered his father, "Yes, sir." How many of you, when your father tell you, "Go to somewhere to buy the grocery for me," then he said, "Yes, sir." Raise your hand. Yeah. Huh? Call your father. "Yes, sir, sir." None of us. When I talk about this in Temple Church, because Temple Church has a lot of Caucasian there, and I ask them the same question. How many of you call your dad, "Yes, sir"? And indeed, a couple of them, couple of them call their father, "Yes, sir." Okay. Because in the early times, in the early years, the parents always discipline their children so strictly, very sternly. So the children have to respond to their father with respect. Okay, so the second son said, "Yes, sir, I will go," but he did not go. So what this tells us? It's a pink, right? You will say yes, but actually you don't want to go. Just your lip service. Your lip service. And the third one, back. This, I think, is easy for all of you. When Judas tried to betray Jesus and hand Jesus over to the elders and the priest and the congregations, and how did they know who Jesus was? How did they know who Jesus was? They didn't know Jesus at their time, because not everyone interested in Jesus at their time. So they may never meet Jesus before. So how did they recognize who was Jesus? Huh? Joanne? Huh? How did they recognize who was Jesus? So many people were here. How can we recognize who Jesus was? Huh? Okay, I'm sorry. I said, when Judas want to betray Jesus, betray Jesus, and okay, thank you. So Judas kiss Jesus, right? Yeah. And do you know what a kiss means? Do you know what the kiss means? Clear enough for you? Means very, very intimate, right? Very close relationship. But it's not true to Judas, because Judas tried to betray Jesus Christ, right? But it's black. It's a different motivation, different motives. Okay. Then read. Okay. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. Chapter 18. 1 Samuel, chapter 18. Verse 1 to verse 4. Juliana, would you read it for me? 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Okay, thank you. That Jonathan and David make a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. So he loved him as himself. Okay. So Jesus said, we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. Then how to love our neighbors? You have to love yourself first. Then you know how to love others. So how to love yourself? Huh? Eating good, right? Every meal, just eat, enjoy eating, enjoy drinking, and good clothing, enjoy, right? So if you love yourself, then you will know how to love others. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Then verse 4. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. We must understand that Jonathan was a warrior. He was a warrior, right? Then warrior, he had to carry all the equipment with him, like a soldier, right? I enlisted a soldier in Taiwan, and when we march on, then we have to carry many weapons with us. Weapons. Okay. Why? Because we want to fight with our enemies, right? In Taiwan, who was our enemies? Mainland China, you know? But right now, it's no enemies at all. Right? But in the old days, we have to carry our guns, our weapons, to fight with our enemies. So in the same way, Jonathan carry all the equipment of armors, get ready to fight the enemies. However, right now, he took off the robe, everything on his body, then to David. Then how many left is any weapons left for Jonathan? Anything left for himself? Nothing. Okay. So at this point, Jonathan exposed himself, risked his life, right? Because when enemy came to him and to attack him, can he defend for himself? No, no way, because no weapon at all. He gave everything he had to David. Right? So this we call red heart. Red. Okay. It's a sacrificial heart. Sacrificial heart. So right now, cross your eyes. Everybody cross your eyes. I have the first red the postcard, the very hard. I have a very hard all the times. I told my friend, I told brothers and sisters, always sacrificial love. Raise your hand. Always. Number four. Okay. Thank you. Open your eyes. See? So we have to repent. Huh? It's you say, not I say. You know? You told me. You never have a red heart. So this afternoon prayer session, then we have to repent first. God give him love. Okay, please give me your love. Okay. So in my prayer, I always ask God give him my love, pull out his love to my heart. I, as a pastor, have possessed the love of God. Okay, let's turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Okay. We need a faith to love other people. A faith. Abel, by faith, he offered gift. Right? And Noah, by faith, he built an ark. Abraham, by faith, he offered his own beloved son. So faith is very important. And faith, true faith, will come with deed. Okay? So faith and deed must go together. Then this person will become alive spiritually. Otherwise, Bible tells us, only have a faith without a deed, the faith is dead. Around 40 years ago, 40 years ago, where are you? 40 years ago, there was brothers who never attended the service, never attended the service. But one day, he just showed up at a church in the evening service. And from that on, he continued attended service. It's good, right? Because he repent, he come back to his church to attend the service. It's good. And my mom saw the situation. Oh, this brother was good because he repent, he came back to church to attend the service every time. Therefore, my mother make a match for him and found a good sister for him. Then end up, they got married. It's good, right? We say married in the Lord, okay. But after he got married, then he disappeared. He loved God, right? He loved God. God, I love you. So he came back to church. But for what? For what? For marriage. So after he got married, then disappeared. God, bye-bye. I got what I want. So, bye-bye. Therefore, in the verse 5, tells us, the love comes from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Okay. So love is unconditional, must be unfailing love, must be sacrificial. In 18, chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I committed to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. 19, having faith and good conscience, which some have been rejected concerning the faith, have a suffering shipwreck. 20, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So at this point, Paul charged Timothy again. So we have to imagine, we have to understand this effect. At that time, how old was Timothy? How old was him? 12, right? Only 12. So how much you will expect the 12 years old boy do a lot of things for you? Only 12, right? So Paul expects the 12 years boy to fight a good fight, hey. Even for yourself, you guarantee you can fight a good fight, huh? No, right? That's why you have to come to NYTS to learn how to fight. But right now, it seems not everybody is ready to fight the good fight. How to fight the good fight? If you know the truth, if you know Jesus, TJC, it's only one church, can be saved, then stand firm. Stand firm, okay? Bible tells us, they return to us, not we return to them. Today is information era. So every day you will encounter many informations through your email, your internet, your newspaper, your magazine, your friend, your classmate, your roommate. So many information flood into your mind. But some of them are junk. It's not so important. Some of them we call false doctrines. Okay, false doctrines. Especially if some of you always counted the other denominations, then you would be careful. Okay, be careful. Because the doctrine of false of demons always sounds interesting. You know, sounds interesting. It's good, right? The sound teachings, the sound doctrines, according to Timothy, later on we will study, always feel tired, okay, no interest, because too serious, no fun at all. Why I have to go to your church? No fun. You know, from 11 o'clock, seeing him, everybody have to stand up, no clap hand, right? No like shaking your body like this, you know. Beautiful world, beautiful world, beautiful world, hallelujah, beautiful world. No such kind of, no fun, okay? No drum, no music instrument. You should no fun. I won't go there. Hey, sounds right, okay? So some youth suggest our church. We have to set up drum, you know, and the other music instrument there, guitar, okay? And then everybody stand up. Then shake, you move your body. But we preach the sound doctrines. Therefore, Paul charged Timothy, only 12 years old, fight a good fight. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19. Jeremiah 15, verse 19. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before them, before me. If you take out the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you. But you must not return to them. Verse 20. I will make you to these people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. This is recorded in Jeremiah chapter 6, chapter 15, verse 19 and 20. So the Lord said, let them return to you, but you should not return to them. If you follow my instructions, then I will make you to these people a fortified bronze wall, because they always try to fight against you, but they should not prevail against you. So if you stand firm, then no one can beat us. No one can challenge to us, because this is true church. This is a fortified bronze wall. This is a fire wall. Who can cross over the fire wall? Nobody. Who can conquer the bronze fortified city? No one, right? No one. Because this is God lives there. God is there. God is with us. So if you understand, if you still do not understand, then you will study more. And on Friday or on Saturday, you will learn the personal evangelism, the personal evangelism. Then I suggest you have, because we have five major doctrines, right? So you have to make notes, okay, make notes, then how to answer the outsider, okay, answer the other denominations. Like why we have to do this, why we have to pursue the Holy Spirit, why we have to receive water baptism, then and foot washing, why this, why that. Like the first Q&A, many why. Why you are sitting there, right? And why I stand here? Why? You know, that God put me here. So that's why, yeah. So God says so. We got to prepare, okay? So you have to make notes how to answer people. So do not return to them. They return to you. Okay, so stand firm. Okay, then let's turn back to 1 Timothy. Let me conclude the first chapter. The first chapter, you can see the teaching material, F1. If you like to look the teaching material, F1. The outline for chapter 1. From verse 1 to 11, the teaching sound doctrine. From 12 to 17, Paul proclaiming the gospel, which is his personal experience, how he converted to Jesus. Then 3, defending the faith, okay, because someone teaching false doctrine in Ephesus. So Paul recharged Timothy to defend the truth, okay, fight a good fight. Then turn to chapter 2, Timothy chapter 2 on the Bible. Today we have finished chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We have 15 minutes. Two, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Four, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. So the most important thing is to pray for all nations. Okay, this is the most important. So our religious activities, among them, we have many activities, right? Among them, which one is most important? Listen to the sermon. Clean kitchen or clean toilet, restroom. Which one is most important? Pray, right? Pray. Because Paul said, I exhort the first of all that the supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And what's been supplication? We have four, okay, this is the content of our prayers, okay, always. Include four items. The first one, supplications. And what's it mean, supplications? We pray for special need, okay. Around 10, maybe 10 years ago, a young boy in Philadelphia Church suffered from leukemia, and his father is a doctor, medical doctor, and his own son suffered from leukemia. So the whole church members that pray for his son, okay, and every Sabbath day, everyone on the lunchtime, everyone fasting prayer. You know, everybody fast and pray for his son. This we call supplication. You need a special need. Right now, God, I need you, we need you, we need you to hear him. We need you to hear him. Please help this young boy. Please. Just emergency. Because he was suffering from leukemia right now. He was suffering. So please hear him. This is what we call supplications. So in our prayers, supplications, then prayer, then intercessions, giving of thanks. Okay. when we have a prayer session, then usually pastor or minister will encourage everybody giving thanks to God. But in regular time, we pray at our home, how many of us know to give thanks to God? Not many. Because always when we pray, we just request anything from God. God, please, please answer my prayers. Okay? Please grant my prayers. Okay? I need a job. I need a scholarship. I need a friend. I need a wife. I need a husband. Ah, please, please. Yeah, yeah, you can request anything from God. But most important, we have to give thanks to our Lord. We can pray everything from God. But most important, we have been given thanks to God. Because praise is the most powerful weapon. Anybody can give him example how powerful the praise is? How powerful it is? Huh? How powerful? When you say, thank God, God, thank you so much. How powerful? Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 1. When everybody stand up and read. Okay. Stand up, so I wake up, stand up and read. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the other with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Okay. Be seated, please. Yeah. And stretch your hand, you know, for a while. But don't hurt your neighbor. Huh? Love your neighbor. Don't hurt your neighbor. Okay. Chapter 20, verse 1. So from verse 1, we can see many nations, not many, a couple of nations, came to attack Jehoshaphat. So he felt scary. He was frightened. Then, what's next? Verse 7. Okay, verse 16. I think 15. Verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, that says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Okay, this is the first message to king. So God encouraged, gave positive message to king. Okay, say, the battle is not yours, but God's. Okay. So many times we encounter difficulties, like battle, okay, but don't use your own ability, don't use your effort to fight. God will fight for us. 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need to fight. Okay, see how wonderful. God is a merciful God. Then, okay, 21. And when he said, consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, so it's simple, right? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Then what happened? Then if you continue to read, then you can see all the enemies were defeated by Jehoshaphat, by the Lord, okay, because with God's help. So it's wonderful, just praise the Lord, then the battle will become Lord's and not ours. Then I turn back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 9. In like manner also, that the women adore themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold pearls or costly clothing. 10. But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. 11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Then 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. So in this paragraph, we can see the two gender. And what does God require from men? What does God require from you? Brothers, what does God require from you? For everywhere, wake up. Pray, right? Sisters, how about you? What God requires from you? One word. Even we have the many verses. Submission. Yes. Yes. You have that. And then, now we are studying. Why? Can you hear me on the back seat? Okay, let me use this one. Why does God require men to pray? Why? And then why women? Submission. Why not women pray? You know, because many sisters devote themselves to prayer, right? Like in lunch prayer, always the number of members, the sisters always more than brothers. Yeah. But why men prayer and women submission? According to the Bible, man is the head of wife, right? The man is the head of a wife. This Bible says not you like or you don't like. Doesn't mean that you like or you don't like. Bible says so. So we got to follow. I got to follow, okay, because the Bible says so. So because of this head, okay. Then head, which means to be spiritual leader, okay. And spiritual leader have to make many decisions. However, how God made man? How did God make man with dust? What? Okay, with dust. How about woman? Rib. And rib is bone. Bone. Okay. And if you compare those two, if you compare dust and bone, which is more precious? Which is more valuable? Which one? Does. Okay. Both. Okay. If you consider bone is more valuable, raise your hand. Yeah, okay. If you consider dust as more valuable, raise your hand. Yeah, okay. So you see, yeah, dust is more valuable, right? It's easy to, it's fragile, it's fragile, right? When some clay or flower base, you know, drop on the floor, then it's easy to broken into many pieces. Okay. So dust is more careless. In Chinese, 粗线条, 男生, 比较粗线条, careless. Not everybody like this, you know, not everybody, just in general, I say just in general speaking. So God needed man to pray everywhere, because he is the head of a wife, and he is the head, he has a spiritual leader to make many decisions. So have to pray to gain wisdom, to manage the household, therefore he need to pray, okay, and pray without anger and without doubting. With anger, then you cannot get anything. With anger, then you will abuse your wife. Okay, so without anger and without doubting, okay, because the Bible says if you doubt, then you cannot receive anything from the Lord. Okay. How about submission? The bone, because the bone is more valuable. Okay, it's so beautiful. So you can see, ladies when they dress suit or look beautiful, right? And they change their hair, you know, different style. They look beautiful. Whatever they make up looks so beautiful, right? Because made by bone. So they will puff up, you know, they puff up with pride, right? Hey, I'm looking nice, right? Hey, make up, see, brothers, see, look at me, huh? So therefore, they need a submission because they are highly more valuable. Need a submission. Okay? So by nature, okay. In the practical practice in family, actually, the woman is more valuable. Okay, like, if you're married and have children, the children always looking for mom. You know, mom, and in real estate time is like a dad. You know, my daughter. When she was young, like around 5 years old, 4 years old. And he want to his she wanted her mom to hold her. And I said, Daddy hold you. No, mommy. And what's mommy? Yeah. So I said, bone, okay, because made with bone, okay, so I need a submission, otherwise you are proud of that, yeah. So I need a submission. Okay, go back to the Bible. Then Apostle Paul used two verses to support his argument. Verse 13 and 14. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Okay. That's why you know, submission to the man. Okay. And the second point, 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression, fell into temptation. Okay. However, even so, still have hope. Even a woman has been deceived by Satan, been cursed. Okay. But they still have hope. She will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Childbearing, because God cursed woman if they will have a pain when they give birth, okay, to child. Okay. And in the Bible, we can see three incidents that a woman have a problem in childbearing. Three women have a problem in childbearing. The first one is Jabez's mother. Jabez, you know Jabez's prayer, right? You know, Jabez is so famous. Do you see the book? Jabez. J-A-B-E. Did you read this book? Raise your hand. The prayer of Jabez. No? Okay. Let's turn to First Chronicles 50 already. Chapter 4, verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I brought him in pain." Okay. Then First Samuel chapter 4, verse 19. First Samuel chapter 4, verse 19. We don't have time to do it. Okay? You just write down on your notes. First Samuel, you don't have to turn, okay, turn the Bible. You just write down on your notes, on your paper. First Samuel chapter 4, verse 19. And the third one, Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. So first one is First Chronicle 4 and 9. Then second incident, First Samuel 4 and 19. Then the third one, Genesis 35 and 16. You got? Okay. Then you just take time to read. Okay. Finish. We only finish two chapters. Okay. Prayer and science.